Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
This is Stephen Reinecke, Principal Pops Conductor of the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, we always love catching up with you every time you have one of these, you know, amazing NSO movie concerts that come either at the Kennedy Center or Wolf Trap. This time we're over at Wolf Trap for the NSO Pops doing Jurassic Park in concert. One of my all-time favorite movies and celebrating a special anniversary this year, right?
30 years of Jurassic Park. Can you believe it was 30 years ago when this came out?
It's crazy. And I got to say, like, sometimes it takes 30 years to establish whether something's a classic or not. But don't you think in this case, it was almost like an instant classic, right?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And I was just thinking about it recently. I mean, it's the type of thing where, first of all, the movie holds up so well. And then the other is that I know, at least for me, a lot of people can remember where they were and when they first saw the movie. I mean, there was so much hype about it. And I certainly remember very vividly. It was kind of a turning point in my musical life, actually, when I saw this movie. I was 21 years old. And yeah, it was very special.
I'm with you. I think in the big arc of timeline of movie history, you know, if you're gonna put two dots on that timeline, it's like King Kong and Jurassic Park in terms of, if you were talking about visual effects, you know, monster movie, creature features, like those are like the two big ones that just bent the arc of movie history and just in a whole different diagonal direction. And they even say, what do they got in there, King Kong? So yeah, it's fitting. I want to get into the music. Obviously, that's your area of expertise. But really quick, just to unpack something else you said about it holding up. Like, do you think it's because, you know, the visual effects, it was the moment that Spielberg, they kind of transfer or transition from stop motion puppets and stuff, Phil Tippett and all that, to the ILM digital effects, like some of the first use of CGI. And so it's got that mix of like puppets, robotics, CGI. It's kind of the best visual effects you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it really was the most groundbreaking CGI that anybody had ever seen in film up to that point. And of course, that mixed with the animatronics of T-Rex at times and even the raptors, it gave you this real sense of belief. I mean, I remember watching it like many people thinking, what am I seeing here? This is like astounding. And the thing is, I mean, obviously CGI has come a long way since then, but it still looks so good. And it still gives you that magical feeling like you're seeing real dinosaurs, especially those when they see them for the first time out in the big field and they see the brontosaurus and all these dinosaurs. It's just a majestic feeling. And John's music put on top of that is the first time you hear one of the big main themes. And it's so special.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go into the music because I know that's your forte. So talk about that theme as they're looking up. When Dr. Grant and everybody else get out of the Jeep and they look up and they gaze. And because that's I've seen Spielberg interview before. And that was like the big test, right? Where the moment where the audience were either going to buy in or not. And boy, we buy all the way in that moment. But talk about the music of why Williams just sort of it just soars in that moment.
Well, John wanted to write. He knew he needed a couple of themes, kind of like he did in Close Encounters, that would be awe-inspiring and not a sense of fear. It was a sense of joy and just this jaw-dropping sensation to see these creatures live. And that particular scene, there's two main themes John really wrote in the movie, and of course uses them in many different ways. But this is that more serene ballad type thing that does have a big build. The bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. That theme.
Na 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 na.
You
have
it.
To do it.
And you know, that theme just has this expansive, wonderful, grand nature to it. And then it builds. Ba-da-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-dum, bum, bum. It's just absolutely perfect. And then
what instruments are used in that one? Because I know you're building to get to the other Welcome to Jurassic Park later. That's a little more. Yeah. But just sticking to the one you're talking about. Talk about some of the instruments used. And I guess it resurfaces as like a piano.
The piano and the harp and the celeste have a lot of really tender moments playing that. But in the actual first main theme, that is just that beautiful soaring string line. And then you get the horns and the brass and percussion coming in as well. It towards the more epic part of it, but yeah, the orchestration is so good, and it just has this great sense of grandeur to it. And then of course the other one.
Let's move to that one, because yeah, you did a great job breaking down that the beautiful melodic one of, you know, I'll show you, we have a T-Rex. but then the more, I guess, like rousing arch fanfare kind of a thing, you know, as they're entering the whole, you know, what do you got in there, King Kong, the big doors, like, I guess that's called Welcome to Jurassic Park. Well, describe that one.
Right. That's more of a march. And that's what John describes it as, a march. And that is really mainly driven by the brass and percussion. Of course, the French horns always have such great lines in that. But yeah, that's that big bum 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 ba da dum ba da da dum. It's just again, just such a striking theme. And I mean, listen to us. We all know that. You hear that theme and you know exactly what it is. John just has this incredible knack of writing themes that are so memorable, and so they become iconic, and you hear it and you immediately, it takes you back to the film. They're inseparable. He has an incredible talent for that.
Absolutely. And at the risk of just me making weird hummings and bum bum sounds, but I'm gonna try to describe something and you can try to tell me what how he does it. But at the end of sort of what you're talking about, the bum 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 ba la na 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 na, you know how at the end where it's like da 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 da, and then it kicks in again. Like, talk about how he builds it.
Oh yeah, that's just stacked major chords happening with the high strings and the brass and the high trumpets stacked together like that. But yeah, it's much more of a fanfare at that particular moment, and it's a great coda, great ending to that particular piece of music. You know, one of the hard things is those main themes. I talked to John about this a year ago, because I got to conduct this Jurassic Park score as well as the E.T. score in front of John Williams and Steven Spielberg at the Kennedy Center last summer for John's 90th birthday. So talk about nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah. We interviewed you for that. And said you brought one of his first albums.
Did
he sign it for you or something?
Yeah, he signed my album, but he also, I'm looking at my score for Jurassic Park, which he also signed as well. So that's quite a keepsake for me. But we were talking about the music, and he said, oh, those main themes are so easy. You know, the hard part is writing the music where, you know, T-Rex is chasing them in the dark. And, you know, the guy gets trapped in the outhouse and T-Rex eats him, you know, all that stuff, all of that type of music. Is the much harder music to write than these grand themes.
So the fanfare stuff comes easy to him, it sounds like, but he's sitting there, how am I going to write a song about a T-Rex chomping a dude on a John?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
what does he do for those scarier moments? Like the raptor, T-Rex paddock. I mean, I know Spielberg uses a lot of great silence in, you know, the raptor kitchen, like silence is huge too. But in terms of moments where the music does come in on the more ominous parts, what instruments does he use?
Well, that's always usually a lot of really low instruments, a lot of really low stuff, and a lot of special effects that he'll do in the percussion and strings in particular that create a really creepy, ominous feeling. But it's the chase and the fights and the battles. That's where you really, because the music is normally more fast paced. And you have to write a lot of music and a lot of notes for that. And, you know, it's normally a lot less melodic and more driven by the action in the film. And that's the part that also gets trickier for me and the orchestra, is to make those points musically synchronize exactly where they need to be with the film. You know, E.T. is, you know, it has a couple of big hit points where the music and the movie have to be exactly right. But you know, few and far between, you can kind of massage that movie musically, but Jurassic Park has so many direct hit points that it takes a lot of concentration to line everything up just right. You know,
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's so many great like sound effects and roars. And if you ever get a chance, folks, to see like the making of documentary, it's floating around on YouTube or Vimeo or something, but it's narrated by James Earl Jones. And just to hear how they gathered the sounds, they combined different animal sounds to create those roarings and rattlings. And it's incredible to hear what they use. But I guess what I'm saying is not only is the music you're trying to do, but like you're not competing with, but you're trying to make sure it orchestrates all with these great sound effects and iconic lines of dialogue and action.
Yeah.
Like it's gotta be hard to do.
Well, exactly. Because people have to remember this was not originally ever meant to be done this way. And right. When they were doing this 30 years ago, we were not doing this with orchestras. I mean, they went into a studio and they would record the music, synchronize it to the movie. And they would do that over the course of several days. And we're going to do this in real time in a couple of hours, play the soundtrack cover to cover. You know, of course, there's an intermission, but it's all in real time synchronized to the movie, which, you know, that was not how this was intended to be done. But it's so fun for us to be able to do. It's a lot more work because, you know, there's very little chance for us to catch our breath and stop. You know, it just keeps going. But and then for the conductor, we don't use, there is a click track to this, which is like a big metronome going on in your ear that speeds up, slows down, tells you where everything but it's no good on a movie like this. So we don't use it. I don't use it. Everything is only done. It's just done visually. I don't have any click track or anything helping me sync it up. I just watch my screen and I've got some visual markers on the movie I look at that help me line everything up exactly. And without that click track, that becomes more of a nuisance in something like in any John Williams score. You really have to just eyeball it and do it visually. It's almost like conducting ballet dancers. You know, they're up there dancing and, yeah. And the conductor is trying to get the music, you know, to go exactly with what they want and what they're doing. So it's really pretty cool to accompany the film. We're accompanying this film and trying to line it all up perfectly.
Well, you don't need a click track. You know, nope. Life finds a way.
Exactly. We can make it so much. Yeah, we can make it so much more musical without that click track. And John himself told me, and there are moments in Jurassic Park, certainly a lot in E.T., like I mentioned, where he even told me, he said, I don't like the way I did this section here. You know, stretch this out, make this go longer or cut off before this particular line. And I thought that was really cool. He basically gave permission to say, make it a living, breathing piece of music and make it your own. You know where you have to be exactly right. But in between that, just accompany the scene and make the emotional part of the movie. Because that's what the music does, is it gives us the emotional impact of the film.
I love it. I guess just sort of in closing, I mean, we've spoken a lot about, you know, you as the conductor, but just you pretty much already said it, but just to have a variety of sound bites. Speak to the you know, the fan experience when they show up at Wolf Trap. How, you know, remind, I mean, they are going to get to watch the movie. Explain how it's this giant, you know, HD screen, whatever, or projector, I guess, and they get to watch it with the orchestra live. Like, explain how that works.
Yeah, this is a completely you know, refurbished version of the film that is in its highest quality, and it'll be projected on a giant screen above the orchestra. We'll be providing the soundtrack live to everything. And what's cool about this is it still is an orchestra concert where you get to hear the soundtrack far better than you ever did in the movie theater. I mean, that's the whole point of it, is to focus on how the music and what it does for the movie. And so, you know, when you're watching the film in the theater, sometimes the movie gets shoved so far in the background, it's like almost subliminal. But here you really get to focus on it, watch the musicians bring it to life. It's so super cool. You can sit out there on a beautiful evening, eating your popcorn, having a beverage, and hear the fantastic musicians of the National Symphony bring this music to life.
It is epic, folks. And I can't think of a better movie to head out to Wolf Trap and sit on the lawn or down in the seats, either way, and just enjoy Jurassic Park. It's an experience like no other. You got to go do it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Steven. It's always awesome catching up with you, because you know the music in and out, but you also know the movies in and out. So we can just riff all day, but we won't. I promise.
I know. Yeah, Jason, we could talk for hours. I really appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely. Everyone, it's Saturday, July 22nd, this Saturday, at Jurassic Park concert at Wolf Trap. Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Bye.